What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
All right, so this happened over the weekend, but with all the football going on, figured I'd just mention it for anyone who missed it. The Dodgers placed starting pitcher Dustin May on the 15-day injured list with low back tightness on Saturday, meaning he's not going to be eligible to pitch again in the regular season. The team said that they think they caught the ailment early enough for him to be able to be available in the postseason, and that resting him now will allow him back in time for the start of the NLDS. So May was 2-3 with a 4.5 ERA in his six starts after coming back from Tommy John surgery. So that's what you need to know.
Not good, Linz, but we do need to know.
Yeah, it didn't exactly work out. Like, everybody was waiting. Like, wait till Dustin May comes back and what he's going to add to this pitching staff. Did not exactly work out the way we all thought.
He was great, like, the first two starts back. He was excellent.
Yeah. But sometimes that happens when guys come off a long stretch of injuries and they're working their way back. And I know he pitched in the minors a little bit, and he pitched in the big leagues. And it just, you have setbacks, you know, because maybe you're trying to go a little too hard when you come back.
Well, either way, Dustin May, for all of the expectations that we had, like, wait till he comes back and what he's going to add to this pitching staff. Not only was it not as good as hoped for or expected, but now he's hurt again. At least, you know.
For now, right.
On the IL, yeah.
Yeah, look, I think they need to get Gonsolin back. That would help. Certainly.
Dude, think about Gonsolin. Gonsolin was a guy that we were talking about around the All-Star break that at the time, as I recall, he may have been the only remaining undefeated pitcher in the National League, maybe in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. And I know at one point I was going, dude, he should start the All-Star game. And everybody's like, no, it's Kershaw. It's about the ceremonial part of it and the game being in Dodger Stadium. That all was fine by me. I'm just saying, like, record-wise at the time, he was the go-to guy. And now he's hurt too.
Yeah.
Got to get him back.
Yeah, he still only has one loss. I don't know if you realize that.
I didn't, actually.
Yeah.
How long has he been out there? He's wild. I did not know that.
Yes.
Yes.
You are correct, sir.
Yeah, he's been out since, I want to say, like, late August, 20-something. That sounds right to me.
All right, well, so that's about been a month. Five weeks and change, yeah.
Yeah, a little over a month. So that is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. So, the Lakers.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to start with Russell Westbrook and this stuff that Woj has, or do you want to start with what Rob Pelinka had to say today?
Because you know that I am a drama queen, then I have to ask that we start with Russ.
Okay, fair enough. So, Russell Westbrook, I guess, chatted with Woj here yesterday.
Really?
Because, yeah. I mean, that's what it seems like based on what I saw this morning. And the conversation was about just like, hey, what do you, you know, what's going to be different this year? And the quote that's everywhere is, quote, I'm all in on whatever it takes for this team to win. And when asked specifically about role, bench, starter, whatever, he just kind of reiterated something similar. Now, look, I think that if that indeed is the case, then, A, it's smart on his behalf. Because if he does want to be here, that's probably going to be necessary regardless. And if he doesn't want to be here for one reason or another, it's smart because it shows other teams, well, maybe he is a little more flexible at this stage of his career. And honestly, I think it's all because he understands, either him or his agent, although he did seem somewhat defiant at times when asked about him having a bounce back year, him basically saying, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I guess there's people out there that would be surprised that if I had a bounce back year, but I wouldn't be surprised if I had a bounce back year because, you know, I still feel like I'm really good. I don't lack like any conviction about my game. So he's still got that, but it just feels like a guy who, or his team, like in regards to his agent and things, that maybe understands the walls are closing on him a little bit from a career perspective, and they're trying to make sure that there's more space in the room if he does need to have a landing spot. And if he doesn't, because he's playing well, then it all works out regardless. But that's my takeaway from reading the thing with him and Woj, is that he's saying all the right things, And he's done all the right things this offseason, despite all the criticism. And I'll commend him for that. Because that's not easy, Cappy. Hearing gas bags like you and me talk about this all the time. And having to deal with it. And, you know, it's not just you and me, right? It's just what he sees on Twitter. And this is the part that I totally understand. And it was the one thing for sure I stood by him. You were not as nice about it. But I it's him saying, like, look, when I came back, like, of course I wanted to play for the hometown team. But my family was super excited. You know, people that I've grew, you know, that I've been around with all my life in my tight circle were super excited. And then it didn't work out that way because the team wasn't performing. I had some bad games, and that's basketball. You're going to have some bad games, but they had to deal with it, which means I had to deal with it in a lot of ways. So I get that. That's a human answer there, but I'm curious to see what this is because I don't have super high hopes for this particular roster as currently constituted.
Yeah, see, I will tell you, man, I heard the press conference earlier today where Russ was being asked the question, does he feel wanted by the Lakers? And it seemed to me like either he was well coached before today or he just kind of said, I'm going to stay calm no matter what. I know they're going to ask me questions about, am I wanted? Do I want to be here? You know, what's the reaction to the team? Because I'm still on the roster when everybody thought I'd be moved. Like, I think he did a very good job today of remaining calm.
Yeah.
You know? But he knew he was going to get hit up with these questions. Yo, man, you think the Lakers even want you? Because, like, nobody is sucking up to him this year like they did last year. You know, and I think that he got into enough reporters' kind of grills last year where the reporters are like, getting him kind of like getting him undone is kind of my goal because that's what gets clicks. And I feel like Russ today did a great job of just remaining calm, taking on the tough questions, and trying to give decent enough answers about being a professional. And I just hope, look, you know, I've been saying this all along, George. I want Russell Westbrook on this team. I want him on this team because I find him to be entertaining. What I'd really like to see him do is learn to be a selfless teammate. Kind of a hard thing to ask from a guy who's always been sort of a center of attention on a team to take that role that Carmelo learned, that Dwight Howard learned. I look at, just turn this back into football for a second. I look at the Philadelphia Eagles and their quarterback, Jalen Hurts. Can you imagine what it must have felt like to be a national champion, to be an All-American, and then
and
to have the coach
for Tua?
To have the coach say to you, hey, we're benching you in the national championship game, and then he comes back and he's a backup the following year. That kid showed what kind of a great teammate he can be, yeah. And look at what's happening in his career right now as those two quarterbacks, Tua and Hurt, are the two undefeated quarterbacks right now. Back to Russ. Just learn to be a great teammate. Learn to check your ego at the door. Learn that it's bigger than just you. George, if he can do that, this could actually be a fun season. I mean, if LeBron can stay healthy, if AD can stay healthy, if Russ can play his role, if Patrick Beverley can bring some attitude, if role players can play roles, that was kind of cool the way I think I just said that. If role players can play roles, I mean, it doesn't really mean much, but
yeah,
you understand
what
I'm
saying. What should role players do?
They should play roles is what they should do. Right.
Okay. Thanks.
Why can't this Laker team make a comeback this year? Why can't they compete? They still have LeBron James and AD, assuming he's healthy. Why can't they? Tell me why they can't.
They don't have a lot of shooting.
Okay, that's one reason I wasn't considering
that. Kind of important in today's NBA, particularly. Yeah. And if you look at historically the teams that have been really successful around LeBron James, including the ones here on the Lakers, they've had pretty good shooting for the mm-hmm. most part. Mm-hmm. I know the team that won the championship during the regular season was only about like 20th in three-point shooting. But in the playoffs, they shot the lights out. Well, and I just don't know if this team is capable of doing that. Like, at least that team had, like, vet guys like Danny Green and stuff. Like, you can sit here and say whatever you want, but they had guys that, you know, KCP, that they were shooters.
I mean, every time Danny Green put the shot up, I was like, don't shoot! I just remember thinking Danny Green was like, dude, please, stop shooting.
But they were shooters, and then they became, you saw that they were shooters come the playoffs.
I am going to say this. I'm going into this training camp with positivity. I'm going.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You remember how last week you were talking about LeBron, and I'm trying to remember what the story was where you were saying, he was not a top five player according to ESPN, right?
Correct.
And you were saying, well, I hope he uses that as motivation.
Yeah.
What I hope LeBron uses as motivation
is what?
Is that everybody thinks they're going to suck. Prove everybody wrong.
Well, everybody thought they were going to not be so good last year. And you know,
I don't know about that.
I mean, really? He was the one sitting out there telling everybody, Wash King, I'm taking receipts, all that stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because everybody was calling them old.
Right. Going and said that they wouldn't win because they were old.
Well, he tried to use that as motivation, and guess what? He was wrong, and everybody was right. They were old.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley called him a bunch of old geezers.
Yeah.
And street clothes Davis. AD got to stay healthy. AD stays healthy, Lakers got a shot. I'm holding on to that.
Listen, I'm with you on that. They have a shot, but a shot at what? You know what? Let's tackle that a little bit on the other side, because I actually want to... I commend Rob Pelinka on one hand, but I also feel like he may have missed the boat on one thing. All right, we'll get to that. Plus, Josh McDaniels, man, is killing the Raiders. I got to be honest with you guys. All right, if we're going to sit here and talk about things that, you know, guys missing the boat, the pirate ship with Josh McDaniels leading it is not so good. Okay, so all that coming up. Stick around. We're back in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bum bum bum
boom, beam, boom beam,
doom, doom, boom
boom doom,
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 boom boom boom. Ice cold.
Riding, giving it up in a sit down.
So, Bruno Mars did the Super Bowl. Was it 2 years ago?
I don't remember, but it's not that long ago for sure.
I think it was three because The Weeknd did it 2 years ago, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. So it was 2 years, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next one will be the Riri Navy, Rihanna. So
I'm down.
I'm excited for Rihanna. People thought it was going to be Taylor Swift.
Oh, God. Thank God, no.
Uh-oh. Better be careful, Laura.
Why, Laura? Why no T-Swizzle for you?
Swifties are going to come after you.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't hate her. I just don't think she's Super Bowl halftime artist material.
No?
No. I mean, I didn't like The Weeknd, so.
Yeah. Ooh, I did.
Yeah, I like Rihanna. Rihanna hasn't had an album in a while. So you're gonna get classic, awesome, good Rihanna songs.
She's not a great singer, like vocalist, but God, can she put on a show?
She's a great performer. There's no question.
Great performer.
Yeah.
I was gonna say she better dance because
she's great.
Sometimes these people get on the Super Bowl. Obviously, most of them dance, but sometimes they get up there and it's like there's way too many things going on, and they're just focused on the singing. It's like you have a backing track, just dance.
Is the Super Bowl this year? Is it in Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
We gonna go?
Why?
See, you don't like to go. You don't.
You
want to
go to Radio Row?
I don't care. We don't have to go to Radio Row. I mean,
are you gonna break your leg again?
Well, I almost broke my leg last year, and then I almost broke my other leg with the softball game. So I had two broken legs at one point.
Now is the same leg or different leg?
Different leg. Broke my left leg when Lindsay and I were leaving the LA Convention Center.
Yeah, I remember that.
Didn't see that. Block and
didn't were we on the phone when that happened or
no.
Was
no, no he wasn't doing anything at all
no. It was jam-packed, and you know there were all these bright lights, and I'm like, and I got outside and I'm like looking around like, okay, which direction am I headed? Boom.
Yeah.
And instead of like looking down, I like was looking up, you know. Bam.
You
kicked
hit one
my
of those
leg.
concrete boulders,
dude,
that
hurt like a mofo, dude.
The convention center
hurts so bad.
It was funny because there was a dude that was a Bengals fan that saw it, and he was like, "Oh man, that had to hurt." And then like Cap like, you know, struck up a conversation with the guy. He's like, "Well, you know," trying to like explain away what happened.
No, yeah. Let me tell you something. I was trying not to let everybody know how bad it really did hurt. I was trying to like laugh it off.
Were you looking at the blinding lights? Is that what why Laura's playing that?
I guess in the meantime, I knew my leg was broken in that moment. Cracked right in half.
Did it really break?
No, but it felt like
he was like, I seriously think I broke my leg. I really am concerned. He was like, do you need me to get you a wheelchair? Like, what do you want me to do?
I wanted you to carry me. I wanted to jump on your back and have you carry me back to the station.
You're such a drama queen.
You were fine. Like, once we walked two blocks and you saw you and Sedano and Cap banner on the outside of the board.
Big smile. All of a sudden,
Crypto.com arena. Right. You were like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I was like, all right, now I'm feeling better.
Yeah. There I am in lights.
Yep.
Right on Olympic in Figueroa.
Hurt like a mofo.
Yeah.
I've taken a real beating for this show in the last year, I got to tell you.
I mean literally and figuratively.
Right. First, that left leg in the block outside of the Super Bowl and in the convention center. Then I took the 250 velo capacity, whatever the hell that's called, right off my other shin with the illegal bat for the softball game.
I mean, if you
game.
Had a 250 velo shot with a softball to your leg, your leg would have shattered.
Did shatter.
You know what? Your leg would have shattered, and the rest of your body would have shattered right with it. You would have been incinerated like in the Marvel movies, Infinity Wars, or was it Endgame with what's the guy who used to snap his fingers? What was the guy's name? Thanos. That would have been like what you would have looked like.
George, I think what we're learning is, and I've known this, but you need to know it now too.
Yeah.
It just so happens that I have an extremely high pain tolerance.
Yeah, so high that you almost thought you broke your leg and you didn't.
Well, no, but I did. You know, I'm like, ooh, broken leg, no problem. I can walk it off. Oh, broke my other leg, no problem. Walk that off too. Extremely high pain tolerance. Extremely high.
What is your tolerance of general managers who make statements that can also be, I guess you can pinpoint them talking about a subject matter that is something that they could have done themselves. In this example, I will give you, Rob Pelinka today said on the Lakers potentially trading their picks, quote, let me be abundantly clear.
Oh, abundantly clear. That's beyond just regular clarity. That's abundant.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron committed to our organization. We're going to commit to him, including those picks, to see him finish the line. McMiniman, who tweeted this quote, added, he emphasizes that they only get one shot to trade the picks. And then Pelinka says their, quote, draft capital, if included in a trade, must bring back talent that clearly improves LA's championship chances. Now, if you're a Laker fan, you want to hear that, right?
Like,
there's no question that's what you want to hear, right?
Exactly right. You got one shot with these two picks. If you're going to trade these two picks, you can't be telling
one
me about
shot.
Buddy Hield.
Can I get a little Eminem?
Yeah. One shot.
One shot.
One opportunity.
Bump, 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 bump. And you're moving, you're rolling, you let it go. You better get one shot.
Give you a chance to roll. Opportunity comes once in a lifetime. Yeah. Well, in the music.
Yeah.
You got one chance, dude.
Yeah.
You got these two draft picks. Don't tell me about Buddy Hield for two draft picks.
Okay. But let me also remind everyone that they had a chance to use those two draft picks to acquire Kyrie Irving and chose not to.
Well, did they? I mean, was
no, they
it
did.
Really?
They did. I told you on this show that I was told that it was THT, Russell Westbrook, and the two picks for Kyrie and Harris. And if the two picks had gone in, the deal was done, okay? And the Lakers said no. They wanted to hold on. They did not want to give up both picks at that time. Then there was a later report down the road that they tried to re-engage the Nets about the two picks, and the Nets turned it down. My guess, if I remember the timeline correctly, was that they had already kind of started to figure things out, or at least understand that they would try to figure things out with KD.
Well, the timeline is important because if...
No. I do know the original offer did not include two picks guaranteed.
Okay, but
that
hold
was
on.
That was reported by multiple people.
But,
and I told you that the deal... And then I said the next day, the deal would have been done if they would have included the second pick.
But again, back to the timeline. At that time, LeBron had not signed his extension. Yes?
Correct.
So, if you trade away those picks, but you don't have LeBron's commitment, then what?
So you don't think LeBron was going to commit if they brought in Kyrie, bro?
Well, you know what? Then they should have said to him, and maybe he should have signed earlier. Maybe he should have committed earlier.
He couldn't commit earlier, I believe, at that time. It wasn't August whatever yet that he could sign it by.
All right, well, now we're getting really technical here, okay? Bottom line, if LeBron absolutely 1,000% wanted it done, then they should have actually pulled it off.
Okay, but that's my point. It sounds great to say that on September 26, 2022, the year of the Lord. And, you know, when you had the ability to make that happen in actuality.
Wait, so what you're saying that it's easy for Pelinka to say it today?
Yeah. You know, when Mace, when we were doing Crosstalk, said, you know, it felt like LeBron was kind of like, you know, like, yeah. And I said, he probably doesn't feel like he's got a championship roster. But I bet you if he had Kyrie Irving on this roster, he'd feel like he had a championship roster.
Well, look. Back to
and
where
they
we
had
are.
A chance to pull that off. So while I think Rob has the right attitude now, where was this attitude back in July?
I don't know. Let's ask Rob. Hey, Rob.
Now, listen.
Where's
maybe
that attitude?
Now, listen. I don't want to put this clearly on Pelinka because I will say maybe, you know, I don't know the conversations that they're having internally, like word for word, right? I hear things, but maybe Rob was. Like Les Snead and Ema, he also probably was like, bleep them picks. Maybe there were other people in the organization, not named Rob Pelinka, who wanted to hold on to them picks or that one pick. So I don't want to put it on Pelinka, but because Pelinka is the voice of the team in this scenario, it kind of makes you have to wonder, okay, well, where was this organizational position? I won't put it just on Rob. I'll take that back. Because maybe he did want it. Maybe he did want to trade both picks. I don't know that for sure.
Well, maybe what they're
thinking. If Rob wants to pull me aside and talk to me about it, I'd love to hear about it.
Why pull you aside? Let's do it publicly. Let's have Rob on the show.
He could do that as well if he'd like.
Anytime he wants to.
But I will say organizationally, that wasn't the position when the moment of truth came.
Well, maybe what they're thinking is we've got LeBron extended now. And as Rob says, he made a commitment to us. We're going to use those picks to make the right move at the right time. At the end of this year, Kyrie's supposed to be a free agent. Maybe, you know, that's been the big rumor that Kyrie would be a free agent, that he would want to join the Lakers thereafter. Maybe you get Kyrie, LeBron, AD next season, 1 year from right now, and then you use those picks to make something happen because you've already got Russ gone. You don't have to trade Russ. You can he's just done. He's over. So maybe they're banking these picks not about this year, but about next year.
Yeah, but now you're going to waste a year at a guy who's going to be 38 years old on December 30th?
Is there anything you can do to make this roster as it is, a championship roster with just Kyrie Irving, with getting rid of Russ? Is that all it takes? Kyrie all of a sudden changes everything? They go from being a five at best to back to being a one or a two?
I don't know. They don't need to be a one or a two, but they are in a playoff series. I love them way more than I do now with as currently constituted. If you're telling me I get to replace, I mean, THC's not here anymore. Right. So if you're telling me I get to replace, Russell Westbrook, okay, and I get to insert Kyrie Irving, yes, I will tell you that in a playoff series, I like them over pretty much every team, but two of them, maybe two, maybe,
well,
maybe
that's
two.
Not happening. And not this year anyway. And listen, this is going to sound counterintuitive, but hear me out. Now you can play a bit more of the long game. Because if you don't think you have a championship roster this year, so be it.
Well, wait, are you playing the long game or are you committed to LeBron?
Well, LeBron, you're committed to LeBron through the remainder of his career, probably. Which is how many more years now? 3 years he's
right,
got with the Lakers?
But then don't say you're committed to LeBron in the organization, if you know, to see him through the finish line if the moment of truth was July. And that statement, you had that chance in July.
Well, that was this year's moment of truth.
And again, I don't know whose call it was at the end. Maybe it wasn't Pelinka's. So I don't want to put all the blame on him. But there was clearly somebody in that organization who chose and had enough juice to say, no, we can't trade both picks. And then it was too late.
Well, LeBron's a businessman, and LeBron knows how much longer he's got on his contract, and what do you suppose the goal is? It's to at least win, at least, at the very least, give me one more championship. It's probably not going to happen this year, based on the way things have been set up, unless everything were to go right, but that doesn't mean it's over. There's going to be a lot of available bodies in the next offseason, and as long as you've still got those draft choices.
And the body that matters the most is going to be 39 the following season.
Well, that's the commitment they've made to him. It's the commitment he's made to them.
Okay.
To get it to 41.
All right. We'll get to the Raiders in a bit. Also, I want to get it to USC. You and I were in on this USC game and how challenging it would be. We'll get to that at 5:45. Stick around for that. Radio Tinder is up next in 2 minutes.
Thanks, Christopher. I thought he made a new one. We need a new open, huh?
Yeah. Real quick, Linz. Radio Tinder is presented by our friends at Tequila Mandala. As you heard Chris say, always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Award-winning small batch premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves. Available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. Go ahead, Linz.
Thanks, Sedano. Sorry, I jumped the gun there. Okay, yeah. So today is NBA Media Day. And man, after the offseason that the Nets had with all the drama, I would have loved to have been there, but I'm sure it was filled with tons of awkwardness. So Kevin Durant, of course, met with the media, and a reporter from Nets Daily named Matt Brooks tweeted about something that KD said during the presser. He tweeted, "Kevin Durant on whether he'll put in another trade request if the Nets struggle. I don't feel like I've got to prove anything to Nets fans after 3 years. I'm committed to moving forward with this team. If you've got doubts, that's on you." And then KD saw that tweet a little bit later, and he quote tweeted a reply writing, "This bleep here is why I don't like talking to lames like you. This isn't the question he asked, but you love your engagement on Twitter, so you will twist bleep up." Have you guys ever been confronted or like called out by a player or a coach for misquoting or misinterpreting something that they said? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
Swipe right. So it happened to me many, many, many moons ago when I was doing national radio. This is like maybe like I was at Fox, so it was probably like mid-2000s, and there was a time that Mark Richt, there was a rumor that Mark Richt had a buyout clause to go to his alma mater, which he eventually did, a decade later, basically. And I had mentioned about said rumor, and Mark, the University of Georgia, reached out to me, very nice about it, by the way. And Coach Richt reached out to me and just explained that that wasn't the case, yada, 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 which he didn't have to do. So it was actually a very nice interaction. It was not like a contentious one.
I'll also swipe right here. I'm trying to remember a couple of years ago, the Super Bowl was in Miami and the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger.
Yeah.
Somebody from a Dallas Cowboys like Sports Illustrated website had written something about him, and they had published this article, and I commented on it on Twitter, and all I did was just read the article and I commented on it, and man, oh man, the Chiefs fans and even Tyrann Mathieu, everybody came after me. I'm like, yo, time out. Here's the article. I said something about the article. You guys don't have beef with me. You got beef with the guy who wrote the article. And I wish I could remember exactly what it was about. But man, they came after me hardcore. You got to be able to accept that. You got to be able to like weather the storm. Otherwise, you're like, uh-oh, they're going to try and cancel me. And it was over something dumb. God, I wish I could remember what it was.
They're going to try and cancel me. How many times have you tried to get, has someone tried to cancel you, Cap?
Quite a few times, I'm sure.
All right, so next one here. Ohio State's Big Ten opener against Wisconsin on Saturday clearly got some wheels spinning inside of LeBron's head. Just ahead of kickoff of the game, LeBron tweeted, quote, "Do I have college eligibility if I want to play another sport besides basketball? How does that rule work?" Well, Ohio State athletic director Gene Smith gave LeBron the answer he was looking for, replying to him with, quote, "If you never enrolled full-time in college and didn't compete in the sport that you want to play after high school graduation, you could have eligibility remaining. If you professionalize in one sport, you can still be considered an amateur in another." Right. "Would love to help you!" Exclamation point. Now, if you recall, one of LeBron's former teammates has done it. J.R. Smith plays golf at North Carolina A&T, mm-hmm. retaining eligibility because he'd never been a pro golfer.
Right.
Do you think LeBron could or would play a college sport? Swipe left or swipe right, Cappy?
Swipe right. I think he could, for sure. But don't you guys remember we were having this conversation last week?
Yeah.
We had this exact same conversation, that if LeBron wanted to go play football, he can go play college football.
But I don't think he would play football, right? Like, realistically speaking, do you think there's any other sport he'd play?
No, I mean, listen, he could play football. Yes, he's certainly more than capable of doing it. Would he want to do that at nearly 40 years old? I don't know if that's smart, actually.
I would guess not. But if LeBron James said he had 4 years of eligibility, because LeBron put that tweet out, and I retweeted it also and told him, hey, LeBron, you've got 5 years, but 4 years of eligibility. So LeBron could go redshirt, and by the time he's about 45, he'll be a senior at Ohio State. If LeBron James wanted to be a wide receiver at Ohio State, he could do it. No problem. Even at 40 years old.
So great.
But why would he want to take that punishment?
Well, I'm not saying he would want to. I'm saying he could.
No, of course he could.
The question was, could he or would he? The could part, yes.
Yeah.
The would part, not so sure.
Yeah, no. I would say no.
The only reason I brought it up was because obviously he can't play college basketball, but like if the rumor, you know, it seems like he's like very ingrained in Ohio State, like football and all that. And
yeah, he took Bronny
there
the other day. Yeah.
Yeah. If Bronny goes and he plays college basketball there, like, I don't know, maybe LeBron's going to like join the water polo team or something. I don't know.
Or maybe, well, maybe something like that. Okay. Yeah. Maybe, I could see
you guys ever see the movie Back to School, or Rodney Dangerfield goes to school and he becomes the star of the diving team? That could be LeBron.
Yeah. Or he could play golf like JR.
I don't know if he plays golf.
I don't think he does.
Yeah. I mean, golf makes more sense for anyone. I mean, you don't have to, it's not like there's a lot of, you know, wear
and
tear.
It'd still be cool.
Oh, it would be fine. Yeah.
I mean, we've seen so many guys do this, though. But so many guys, like, will go from high school and they'll go play pro baseball, and then their baseball career doesn't work out.
Oh, my God. Chris Wenke went to college. He was like 28 years old or something like that.
Right.
You know, quarterbacking Florida State. Right. And then got drafted in the first round by the Carolina Panthers.
And there was another guy. I want to say his name was like Chad Hutchinson, who did the same thing. He was drafted
in
baseball.
Yeah.
So it's happened.
Yeah. And, you know, there's Scott Bakula in Necessary Roughness, too.
Okay, him too. That's right. But don't forget, hey, Deion Sanders was doing this when he was in college at Florida State. Deion Sanders was playing for, I believe it was the Yankees in the summer.
Right.
But then he would go back and play football at Florida State.
Yeah.
So pro baseball player during the summer, college football player during the football season.
Yeah.
I always forgot he played for the Yankees. I have that card.
Yeah, he had Yankees first, and then he played for the Braves for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, do we have time for one more, Laura? We'll make it quick.
See.
Okay, so the Dodgers honored Albert Pujols in a pregame ceremony Friday night in his return.
Super cool. I thought the whole night was pretty awesome, starting with the Dodgers, the way they honored him, to your point, Linz.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was very, like, sappy but nice scoreboard video with well wishes from, like, all his former teammates, especially, like, JT had, like, he gave him golf clubs and stuff like that. Like, see you on the golf course, buddy, because he's retiring. But then Pujols hit home run number 699 and 700, making him the fourth player in history to ever reach the milestone. So as Pujols cried while he was circling the bases with, you know, 50,000 people giving him standing ovation, Dodgers players and manager Dave Roberts were overcome by a cross current of emotions. So Roberts said after the game, quote, "I was very pissed about the execution we had tonight. But you have to sometimes step back and appreciate that it's not always about you. In this particular case, it's certainly bigger than all of us and for sports. So I guess if we aren't going to execute pitches, I'm happy it was Albert." So if you guys were a Dodgers player in Friday night's game, would you secretly be rooting for Pujols to hit that home run, even if it meant you'd lose the game? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
Yeah, listen, I think that because they've already clinched the division. They have the best record in the National League. They don't really have much to worry about at this stage, that it doesn't matter. I actually feel like because there weren't a lot of stakes for the Dodgers, that actually made it kind of a more of a moment where they could take it in, which I thought was pretty awesome. They would have done the right thing regardless, even if they were still in the hunt at that particular juncture of the season. But I thought I watched it all, and it was just incredible. Just all of it was so fun, so cool. Albert was so reverential towards the Dodgers organization in his post game, talking about how he was, you know, they brought him new life and that, you know, it gave him this opportunity to finish his career with the team he started in St. Louis because he played that role with the Dodgers last year in search of a championship. And it gave him this opportunity. Now, I just thought the whole thing from beginning to end between Albert and the Dodgers and the Cardinals, all of it was fantastic to watch.
Yep, I watched it all night on Friday night also. Can we all agree that the Dodgers, Dave Roberts says the right thing after the game. I was not happy with the execution of the pitch, but come on, come on. They just fed it to him.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, secretly, do you think he did it on purpose?
Of course. Listen, because Albert Pujols played last year for the Dodgers and contributed, and this team loves him, it's not like when you think back into the history of the Dodgers, you're not going to say Clayton Kershaw and Albert Pujols. You're not going to say Sandy Koufax and Albert Pujols. But they love him. They played with him. He was stuck at 698. They fed him two balls that he could hit out. They understand the drama of where they are. And you know what? They gave it to him. And so what if they lost the game? They wound up coming back and winning the next two games. And it, like George said, it didn't matter. This season, this division, where they are in the playoffs, all that's been decided because of how amazing of the season they've had. So they pitched him batting practice. Come on. Is that really that hot of a take? They pitched him BP. It's all good. It was dramatic. It was fun. It was great to watch. But that's what they did.
I don't know. If I was that pitcher, I wouldn't want to be on that side of history.
You saw that there were people that did that to Aaron Judge, right? For sure. Like, yeah. they were guys that didn't want to give up that home run. I mean,
walked him.
I thought that was lame. Walking Judge. That was lame.
Well, it reminded me of the time when Michael Strahan set the all-time sack record
and Brett Favre took a fall. You're saying,
right? Exactly. Yeah. So listen, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying it was a dramatic moment that they knew who he was, what he meant to them, and they wanted to be a part of it. So they fed him fastballs.
But baseball, the difference with baseball, though, is you can throw a meatball down the middle. He doesn't mean he's going to hit it out.
100% right on. In fact, I said fastballs, but the second one, the 700, it was like an 82-mile-an-hour slider. He just sat on it and he cranked it.
And he cranked it, right, yeah.
I got no issue with it at all.
Yeah, so I don't think they pitched in batting practice. I wouldn't go that far. You know, but they gave him...
They pitched him opportunities.
They gave him a few opportunities, but you're going to mix up pitches anyway. So, all right, we're done here. Radio Tinder is over. Coming up next, Cappy, you and I were first on the scene on this USC-Oregon State matchup, and it all worked out in the end if you took our gambling advice and, of course, USC pulling out a victory. But let's dive into some of the particulars next. Oh, I loved this song as a kid. Don't worry.
Be happy, man.
Be happy. Bobby McFerrin.
Would never have been able to have gotten that.
Really?
Nope.
No way.
No, I could get the song, and I know the lyrics, but I could never get the artist. Never.
Are you serious? I actually did that just assuming you knew who it was.
Nah, I wouldn't have gotten it. Could have given me 1,000 guesses. I wouldn't have gotten Bobby McFerrin.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Super popular song. For... well over a year, I feel like, if I recall correctly. 1988, number one hit, Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Yeah.
Did you just say that it was a number one song for over a year?
No. I don't know if it was number one for over a year, but it was very. It got a lot of radio play for over a year.
You know where I remember this song from?
What, cartoon?
No, the Talking Fish.
Yes, the Talking Fish. That's on the plaque that people would have hanging on their wall that you push the red button and the fish tail and the fish head
like start singing and then be like, don't worry.
That's funny. That's very funny.
Be happy. We used to have that and my mom used to hate it because I would just press it to the point that she like threw it out. She's like, take that crap off.
Yeah, George, I thought the singer was the fish.
I had one, but my fish sang, take me to the river.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that song is, but that's what he sang.
Really? You don't know that song? Take me to the river?
No. Is that a real song?
Yeah, real song.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Very real.
Be
really,
happy.
Really
be
real.
Happy, yeah. Oh man, I miss that fish now.
I
used to love that fish.
Now we know what to get you for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, please don't. Hell
that's
no.
That's a good one. A red button right in the middle of the fish, and then the tail would wag forward and the head would wag forward, yep. And it would sing that song.
It was like creepy though, you know, because it was like the body would just stay still,
yeah.
But then the head and the tail would move. It was weird.
It was fish. This song was number one for 8 weeks.
Really? 1988, huh?
That's 2 months,
That's a long
dude.
Time. That's, yeah, a, long that's a long time.
Especially in 1988.
Yeah. 2 months.
Know the song, would never have gotten the singer. Doobie doobie doo. All right, George Sedano, you were about to bring up USC, and you were saying that we were on it. But before you start, timeout.
Please. Yeah, timeout?
Yeah.
Now, is this like a 20 or is this a full?
This is a full timeout.
Okay, go ahead.
We were not on it. You were on it, not me. You brought up probably Tuesday or Wednesday of last week that USC started as like a 13-point favorite against Oregon State.
13
and by
and a half.
Friday, it was like five, right? My right. numbers might be a little bit off, but
no, yeah,
close.
That's 5.5. Yeah, 13.5 to 5.5.
In fact, you were on this story so much, I'm giving you credit because I did not notice it. So you brought it up on Tuesday. You brought it up on Wednesday. You said we're going to talk to Fat Jack about it on Thursday.
Yeah.
Fat Jack explained why Oregon State why the line would have come down.
Yeah.
And truth be told, I actually really went into that game, and we talked a lot last week about how Oregon State was 3-0, USC was 3-0. We talked about their resume. I mean, Oregon State had beaten Boise State, which is just terrible. I'm trying to remember, Boise State got beat this weekend by somebody real. Oh, University of Texas, San Antonio, or El Paso.
No,
one
but they're
of those
good.
Two schools.
San Antonio, University of Texas, San Antonio is good. I'm sorry. University of Texas, yeah, the Roadrunners of San Antonio, they're good.
Yeah, but when you say good, I mean,
they were a top 25 team last year.
Yeah, and then they got smacked down, as I recall, in a bowl game.
No, but I understand, but they're not like they're a pretty good team. Like
yeah,
they're good,
but still, I mean, Boise State. No. Look, here's my point. Oregon
you
State.
You just remember Boise State with the Statue of Liberty play.
I'm not going back that far. I'm not going back to the Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma. But but Boise State has been a solid team in their conference, which is mid-major. So look. Oregon State had beaten Boise State. They had beaten Fresno State. And then they beat up on like somebody like, I don't know, Montana State. Somebody
correct.
Like from a lower level.
Yeah.
And they were averaging 45 points per game. So truth be told, when you were bringing up this whole story of why the line moved so much, I still kind of thought USC was going to go in there and smack them down. Yeah. And then I told you that I talked to Tony Boselli last week. And Boselli's like, dude, don't underestimate Oregon State because going to Corvallis is a tough place to play.
Yeah.
While the game is going on, you and I were texting the entire game about the atmosphere, the environment.
Listen, and by the way, that stadium, as you saw on television, half of it is being done for renovations. It was like literally only 2/3 of the stadium could be full because they're renovating basically one side of the stadium.
Yeah. So you say we were on it, and I appreciate the we part of it, but it really was you who saw the line move the way it did. And I kind of thought, well, gosh, I would still take USC. And I thought getting USC, like giving five was a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
Turns out Oregon State was a lot better than I knew. And USC offensively just didn't really look very good to me.
They did well, first of all, Oregon State's defense is good. Their secondary is one of the better secondaries in the country. And they get pressure on the quarterback, too. Okay. So Caleb Williams did not have a good night, and also Oregon State made him look like that a little too. I wouldn't say a little; like they made him look like that some too.
If you had never seen Caleb Williams play before, but you heard all the hype, you'd be like, "What's all the hype about?"
Right, but he didn't have his best game. He didn't have his fastball, but they also forced him to look that way in a lot of ways. So I think the combination of that, if Oregon State just had a capable quarterback, they might have won the game, but they didn't. And because Chance Nolan is just, you know, he's okay.
Well, he threw a lot of picks.
He gave the game up
game.
A bunch of times. In
yeah,
that game,
he, yeah, he threw a lot of interceptions in the game. And for as much, you know, slack as USC's defense takes, where people are like, well, the
they
offense
were great
is special.
In that game.
They
were
came
great
up
in that
huge.
Game.
What's this linebacker's name? He's number like 18.
Yeah, the kid's like 6'6". Yeah.
Guy looks like a defensive end who's like tall, like a guy who looks like he came from a basketball background and would play like rush defensive end. And he's like 6'6 and like 220.
And the wingspan of a 7'1" player. Yeah.
Right. He looks tall and skinny.
Yeah, Eric Gentry.
Man, oh man, that guy.
He's a transfer.
It's a weird thing to see a guy with his body type play that position.
He came from Arizona State. Herm Edwards recruited him.
He was one of the, I mean, they lost a ton of guys in the transfer portal. But again, you don't see a guy 6'6", and I don't know what his official weight is, but he looked, if he was 220, I'd be surprised.
He's
body
200,
type.
They list him at 200.
6'6", 200, playing middle linebacker.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
He came up big, man.
Yeah, he did. He came up big. He deflected a bunch of passes. He came up with a lot of big plays. Tui Pelotu played really well, their best, who I think is their best defensive player. They played well on defense, particularly the front seven, I thought, played really well. I know that the guys in secondary got some, you know, picks or whatnot, but I feel like a lot of that should be credited to the front seven more so, if anything. But yeah, they played good defense, and Oregon State is a worthy opponent. We kept talking about it. Like I was telling you, this is a worthy opponent. This is where it's going to be USC's first real test this weekend, and we saw it.
I underestimated them. Had not seen them play. Very impressed with Oregon State. And impressed that USC found a way to get the win, moved to 4-0, and now for USC, you got Arizona State coming to town.
There's two games that matter here, all right?
Okay. Yeah,
Utah. Arizona State, they're going to win. By the way, yours truly on the call. You can listen to that on ESPN Radio this weekend.
All right, nice. This weekend, cool.
So you know, if you're going to listen to a call of USC, you should listen to ours.
Okay, we'll do it.
I don't even, you know, it's on some other station. I don't even know what station it's on, to be honest with you.
I don't know what station it's on either, but I know what station you were on this weekend.
Yeah, but it should. I don't believe we're allowed to carry the game though on 710 because of the, you know, them being on another station.
Mm-hmm.
But you can listen to it on the app and on SiriusXM. Absolutely can do that. But the two games after that, East Side Cappy, is the season, in my opinion. Washington State. I told you, also a worthy opponent, and I told you that weeks ago. They lost a shootout to Oregon, 44-41, I believe. They're legit good. And obviously the Utah game after that in Utah.
Yep. But I still think, again, I really do think that USC is going to get better as the season goes on. And I think, I know this is going to sound crazy to a lot of people, I actually think they can go unbeaten. And I still think they can make it to the playoffs.
If they win those two games, they're going undefeated.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, I mean, unless Notre Dame like just does something that I don't see offensively, because Notre Dame defensively is good, but I just don't think without their quarterback and their quarterback being out for the season, they can keep up on offense.
I will tell you one thing. I love what's happening in college football, that so many of what I call the mid-major teams are rising up and beating like the bigger name brands. A couple weeks ago, it was all those teams from the Sun Belt Conference that scored all those major upsets. I don't know if you happen to see this weekend, one of the games I watched was Miami and Middle Tennessee. Did you see Middle Tennessee go to Miami and put a beat down on those guys?
Dude, they threw like four bombs from like the 1 yard line and scored on every one of them. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
It was incredible. I mean, I watched a ton of college football on Saturday. How did
Pitt do this weekend?
Pitt, they won, but they played like Rhode Island. You know, it was like one of those games that they should have probably started the season with, but they started with all the excitement of, you know, their rival. But they beat up on like some Rhode Island team. Not very good. Mm.
So how about Justin Kaplan? Can we get to that next segment?
Oh, dude. George, when I tell you, like, I had two phone calls from my two kids this weekend, from two of my kids. One, my daughter on Friday night, when I answered the phone, she was absolutely hysterical crying.
Uh-oh.
And when I answered the phone from my son after his game on Saturday, he and I were hysterical crying on the phone. The two of us.
All right, let's hear all that. And then I also, I do want to get back to the Rams and the Chargers and the Raiders. We'll get back to the NFL football. We did a lot of Lakers and college football in this hour. We did a lot of NFL in the first hour. We're going to get back to the NFL, but I want to hear about the Kaplan children coming up next.